Off the ball. Rugby.
He was at the Stormers for a long time.
Yeah.
He's such a good coach. And I say coach, I mean the work ethic, the detail, the way he conveys it. No ego. You don't see him trying to take any media limelight. He's not come with celebrity. He just wants to win. And I think he's like one of the best coaches I've ever come across.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball daily.
And you're very welcome, folks. Off the Ball Sunday here on News Talk. It's John Duggan with you through to 7. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you're doing great around the country. What's coming up over the next 6 hours in your radio? Well, 8 of the FIFA World Cup group games have already been played now. There's 2 more later today, then another couple in the early hours. And the ex-Republic of Ireland international Keith Tracy will be with us at 4 p.m. to discuss the tournament so far and preview today's matches. 3 teams were knocked out of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship yesterday. One of Cavan or Dublin will be gone as well this afternoon. Our GA correspondent Tommy Rooney is at Kingspan Breffni for reports and analysis. As always, we're going to bring you all together games reaction from the weekend throughout the show, and the Sunday pay-per-view comes at 2 o'clock. Journalist Orla McElroy and the comedian Mario Rosenstock are on the show this week. You can WhatsApp us today, 087-9180-180. That is 087-9180-180. Monaghan's finest, very happy man, Shane Hannan, with us for the news round. Good afternoon, Shane.
Afternoon, John. How are things?
You were speaking yesterday on the show about being so nervous out of this Roscommon match. The nerves didn't last long, I would say.
I was on the drive home yesterday, listening to the Northern Sign for this one, and watched it back when I got home. But yeah, the nerves dissipate, but knockout football, do or die football. And look, you're aware, and I have a former housemate of mine, a good friend Tom, who's from Roscommon, and we were messaging back and forth yesterday. He was in Clonus yesterday, and we said before the game, look, may the best team win, and no hard feelings. But I could completely empathise with him, you know, that drive home.
You didn't go in heavy afterwards.
I didn't. No, I didn't go two-footed. Because it is tough, you know, when your county has been knocked out of the championship.
And Connacht champions.
Yeah.
It was so hopeful.
I was listening to Kieran Hughes last week, and he was saying this, and I noticed it when I was in Roscommon recently as well. The flags and the craze in Roscommon is off the charts. There are more flags up in Roscommon after that Connacht final, and before the Connacht final victory, than any county in Ireland, I would imagine. The buzz was off the charts, and rightly so. Unbelievable team, so good to watch. Connacht final was such a high, but they really wanted to get that first win in Croke Park since 1980, and that way it goes on. It's just when they get out of Connacht, something happens, and Monaghan were very, very smart yesterday. Like, I didn't think a 5-point lead at halftime would be enough. They were against the breeze in the second half, Monaghan, but won the second half 11-7, managed the game, slowed the game down, didn't allow Roscommon's forwards to get into the game really at all, and some really smart performances from the likes of Conor McCarthy and Jack McCarron and Stephen O'Hanlon. It was really, really good.
We'll get to that more in a moment. Yep. Let's just kick off, in inverted commas, the show with the World Cup, because if you've woken up, there have been a couple of games overnight. I fell asleep at 1 a.m. after watching Brazil and Morocco, but I couldn't stay up for Scotland, Haiti or Australia, Turkey, because I wouldn't be here if that had been the case.
It's tough. This is a slog. Like most World Cups feel like a slog, but when there are so many more teams and so many more games, it feels, I don't know, and obviously the time zone doesn't help either. Do you know, if these games were 3 in the afternoon, 6, 9, midnight, you could probably manage most of
them. And there are highlights, so we can all watch them back as well.
Indeed. But Scotland head coach Steve Clarke says the pressure is off after their 1-0 World Cup victory over Haiti in Boston last night. John McGinn's winner. A deflected goal, but a goal all the same means the Scots top Group C after Brazil and Morocco drew 1-1 yesterday, or last night I should say as well. That game was 11 o'clock last night. In the other overnight match, Australia beat Turkey, or Turkey, whatever we're calling them, 2-0 in Vancouver. A surprise result there, certainly, despite being one of the pre-tournament favourites. As I said, Brazil could only manage that point. While tonight, you mentioned there's a stacked enough lock of games this evening. Germany meet Curaçao at 6 p.m. in Group E. That's followed at 9 p.m. Irish time by the Netherlands versus Japan in Group F. Also in Group E tonight at midnight Irish time is Ivory Coast versus Ecuador. And if you're still going at 3 a.m. tonight in Group F, Sweden against Tunisia. So a lot of football to be played tonight.
Brazil and Morocco was good for the first half. Good, entertaining play. Morocco were very much on top, and Ismael Saibari put them in front, a really well-worked goal straight down the middle. And Brazil were all over the shop, to be honest. And then they eventually found their shape in Vinicius Jr., who was sharp all night, scored a really good goal to equalise in the first half. And the second half was less good. But Brazil have work to do now. It's funny that Igor Thiago started the game, the Brentford striker up front. Then I watched the highlights back of Scotland. Seemed like a functional win, but look, it's their first in 36 years of the World Cup. So that's what they needed to do, just to beat Haiti and hope they'll progress now and maybe take a point or more off Brazil or Morocco. That was in Group C. Then overnight, what, Australia 2, Turkey 0 in Vancouver. A 20-year-old Nestori Iheanacho with a really good goal. The Watford player for Australia, young team, the Socceroos, Connor Metcalf of St. Pauli with the second goal. And Patrick Beach, their goalkeeper, picked over Matt Ryan, played well. But that was a shock defeat for Turkey, I would say. I wouldn't think their supporters were expecting that.
A lot of people were fancying them. Didn't Kevin Caban speak very highly about them on yesterday's show? And I think for a lot of people, dark horses, Turkey, certainly after a very impressive qualifying campaign.
Did have chances in the game, but just didn't go their way. And Australia now have got a really good chance in the group.
I'm trying to imagine what the timings would have been for those Australian fans. So I guess it would be a decent time, early mid-morning, possibly. Would it have been? It was ahead, aren't they? Australia's maybe seven, Perth is maybe 7 hours ahead, 8 hours ahead. And then further, obviously, the further you go.
So of us, it could be like early afternoon even.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. The pubs will be open somewhere, no doubt. But yes. Yeah, but for Scottish fans, like I'd be fascinated to know people watching in Scotland last night. Didn't they have some extension to bars? And
did they?
I think so. So look, fans were able to watch it. We would have been the same if we were there, but it's all ifs and buts.
It's happened, you see, Scotland before, like against Iran or Peru, that they've messed up at Costa Rica in 1990. So like they just win the game, that's what they had to do against Haiti, and then they'll enjoy the Brazil game. And with the 48 teams, it's easier now to obviously get out of the group.
Yeah, getting to a last 32 would be enough for Scotland, but you can see them getting to a last 16, you know,
they could surprise somebody in the last 32, but eventually I think it probably will catch up with them.
Brazil look, the strength and depth that they have, when you have the likes of Matheus Cunha coming off the bench and other players of such talent, it's but Brazil always have that depth.
Casemiro was taken off, Fabinho coming on, who's been playing in Saudi. Just don't know about that midfield, if they've got enough midfield strength. The fullbacks are untested as well at that level. Do they create much? Not really. But Vinny Jr. is class.
Yeah.
He's exceptional. But Marco really were very slick in their passing, their movement in the game early on, especially. So they'll cause problems.
Morocco don't show any fear. Like
no,
they look
they don't.
Like a team that have been there obviously before.
They don't look like a team that will falter as they proved against Portugal in the last World Cup.
And the Curaçao, you mentioned that they're smaller than the Isle of Man yesterday, and to go up against the Germans tonight, it's one of the greatest David versus Goliath games in World Cup history, you would imagine. Certainly beforehand, it's hard to see anything other than a heavy victory for Germany. But
yeah, just what will Germany do in the tournament? I don't know. A lot of Bayern Munich players, and they got Havertz and Wirtz in there as well, obviously, but not the Germany, I think, that were there 12 years ago that won the tournament in Brazil. So can't see them winning it, but look, Julian Nagelsmann will have them organised, and it's how many they can put past Curaçao. I mean, you could get some hammerings in this World Cup. There's probably going to be a 5-0 or a 10-0.
Yeah.
Eventually, it's going to happen. But Netherlands-Japan has got more interesting angles to it, I feel.
You did say yesterday that when you had a day off, that you would approach the night and the heavy watching of football in a different way. How will you approach tonight?
I actually have to work tomorrow on certain other things. But so let's get to say Tuesday, where we got like some. So tomorrow, like folks, if you're going to do Sweden, Tunisia, and you got to work tomorrow, just be careful.
3 a.m.
Do it responsibly, right?
Don't try this at home.
I'd say what I'll do on Wednesday morning. I'm off Wednesday, so I'm going to probably watch Argentina Algeria 2 a.m. I'll commit myself to doing that until 4 a.m. But Austria Jordan at 5 a.m. I've a bit too much of a stretch, to be honest.
Austria versus Jordan at 5 a.m. is for the really mentally strong, I think, John.
Or those people who are insomniacs, or those people who go to bed early and get up for 5 o'clock, and before they go out for their run or for breakfast, they'll watch Austria Jordan. Or maybe there are people in the Republic of Ireland that are from Austria.
Yeah, that's true. And it's all that's the great thing about the world.
I've got a lot of Brazilian friends, so
yeah.
I just texted with them last night. I just texted them the flag and a football.
Sums it up.
And I just got let's go back. So it will be. But Argentina, Algeria, I can make that. Yeah, Wednesday morning at 2 a.m.
You can do it.
But Iran, New Zealand, Tuesday morning at 2 a.m. It's more just you know, you're hoping that all is good with the Iranian squad of footballers. They're being put in a tricky position, but even trying to call that one is difficult.
And France Senegal is a very fascinating opening game in that. I know you had them as potential dark horses. A lot of people do.
Absolutely fascinated by that. Yeah. And also to see Pico Lopez tomorrow,
yeah,
for Cape Verde against Spain.
And there's the novelty aspect. I mentioned Austria, Jordan, but Iraq, Norway. These are games that you just don't see happen too often. So there is a novelty aspect.
Well, that's it. I went in when I was in the tournament, when I went reported on it 8 years ago, I saw Senegal play Poland. And they'd never met in international football before that day.
Right.
And you had people from Senegal and Poland taking photos outside the stadium. Just a beautiful life moment just to see people who'd never met and will never meet again taking photos from two completely different continents.
We
never met and never... and
haven't since, probably.
Yeah.
We spoke yesterday about how you don't get really nervous watching sport again. But in terms of emotions and getting emotional, when you went to the World Cup in Russia in 2018... when you landed or when you entered the first game or you really it sunk in that you were at the World Cup, were there any emotions?
Oh,
or was it pure work mode?
No, a huge feeling of gratitude to see the colour of life.
Because
that's the World Cup is, and that's why I really am so uncomfortable with, like, there's a line, right? And FIFA needs to make money and they say that they've got to give back into the game and this is their big thing, as much as they try with the Club World Cup, which hasn't taken off, won't take off probably because the UEFA is so strong and the South American associations are strong, but they've gone to the line and then they've just sped through the tape now. They've just gone so far now with this naked commercialism at the expense of the ordinary fan that and the way that, like, you will have communities in certain pockets of the USA and Canada and Mexico that will be able to go, like a big Brazilian community, you imagine, in California or New York, that that they will be able to go to the game yesterday if they can afford it. And that's the big problem, that so many people are being priced out of it. But in a country like Russia, or if you had it in England or Germany for the Euros, or Spain, which and Portugal and Morocco for 2030, you will have it. I don't think you'll have it in this World Cup. You'll have that meld of cultures in Madrid or in Barcelona. You'll have two stadiums in Madrid.
Yeah.
So you have all the congregation of fans in Madrid in 2030. That is what the World Cup is about. It's about the memes, it's about people from different countries meeting each other and taking selfies and having fun. So you talk about emotion. The emotion was seeing people from different cultures and countries dancing, music being played, samba bands, Argentina, the guy dressed up in a Pope's costume. Like, we've had it ourselves, the Republic of Ireland. Like, it's 48 Republic of Ireland's for the World Cup, but because it's so bloated and so vast and so stretched, that has lost a bit of its essence, I feel. But I think for 2030, it will be regained.
Yeah.
And even for the Euros here, we will have people coming in from, hopefully, we will obviously have some home games here. We should. It's pretty clear now we're probably going to be playing at it with the its situation with Northern Ireland, that you'll have us playing other countries, other cities. We'll host, obviously, games in the Euros, but... that's what it's about. It's about the supporter experience a lot of the time, because I think ultimately the treasure is not the money. The treasure is the fan.
Yeah, 100%. And that they've been forgotten.
Like, and look, Russia's taken a very dark path and this horrific war on Ukraine. But I remember meeting a Russian taxi driver and he was wearing a Sweden jersey because they played in the city in Gorky, Nizhny Novgorod. And he goes, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Ireland." And he goes, "Oh, whiskey and Roy Keane."
The two things.
And he asked me, "Can I have a souvenir?" That's what the World Cup.
Did you have a souvenir for him?
I don't think I did, actually. but that's what it's about. It's just about ordinary people around the world meeting other people that just have a shared joy of love of a game.
Yeah, that's what the World Cup's about. And you'll see the same when Germany and Curaçao line up for their national anthems tonight, and there'll be tears, no doubt, among some of the Curaçao players. That's what it's about.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, that's the World Cup, John, and best of luck to anyone who's going to chance staying up tonight and watching the rest of these games. But some decent games to look forward to, as I said. Germany, Curaçao at 6 p.m, Netherlands, Japan at 9, and then the late ones at midnight, Ivory Coast versus Ecuador, and 3 a.m. for Sweden versus Tunisia in Group F.
So give us distill what happened yesterday in the Football Championship. Now, Tommy Rooney, RGA correspondent, will be giving us a bit more analysis of it in a few minutes' time from Breffni Park for ahead of Cavan Dublin, but... Cork winning was a big story, really.
It was the story of the day, without a shadow of a doubt. Round 2A in the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship up in McCool Park in Ballybuffet. Of course, Cork had to fly up to the city of Derry Airport, as I understand it, the day before the game. And a small pocket of Cork fans made the hardy trip up north as well. It's funny because you see Donegal go down to Kerry and get the win. You see Cork go up to Donegal and get the win. So maybe the home advantage in the vast distances sometimes you get a team together and they go on a trip together, and it's the night, you know, the night's accommodation, and you can actually build on that. And clearly Cork did it, because that performance against Donegal yesterday, and Donegal led at half time of that game, and for all intents and purposes looked like they'd pull away, but Cork just stayed with them, and a slew of 2-pointers in the second half and some really good strikes really got them over the line, and they go straight to an All-Ireland quarter final. They get 2 weeks time, they have a break, and Donegal are going to have to, if they're going to win the All-Ireland Championship this year, they're going to have to do it the very hard way. As Jim McGuinness pointed out, they lost last year against Tyrone at home. They've lost twice already at home this year against Down and Cork, so that home record that they were so proud for them has just dissipated, and it's going to be a long road for Donegal. And look, they won't be a team that anyone wants to meet in that draw on Monday morning, tomorrow morning, for the All-Ireland round three or preliminary quarter final, whatever you want to call it, next weekend. Yeah. But yeah, Donegal 113, Cork 17 points, the full-time score. In round 2B then, gone from the championship are Roscommon, gone from the championship are Kildare, and gone from the championship are Derry. So it finished in Clonus in Shenox Park, a 9-point win for Monaghan, 1 goal and 20 points to 14 points over Roscommon. Kildare 17 points, Kerry 322 was the full-time score in Newbridge, a heavy win for Kerry in that one, and they're getting some key players back on the pitch as well. Derry 120, Meath 124 was the full-time score at Celtic Park up in Derry. An excellent result for Robbie Brennan's side there. Well, the other results, just before I bring you some colour from those games, Tailteann Cup quarterfinals yesterday, Offaly beating Wexford by 5 points, 122 to 117 at O'Connor Park. Antrim 315, Wicklow 219. An excellent win, comeback win for Wicklow in that one at Corrigan Park. Leash 15 points down, 223. So a win for Down at O'Muir Park. And Fermanagh 224. Sligo 9 points at Brewster Park and then Enniskillen. So two Ulster and two Leinster sides in the Tailteann Cup semi-finals.
But like, imagine Wicklow winning this, or Fermanagh winning this in the Samogar Cup next year. That is the beauty of the Tailteann, you know?
Huge, huge carrot on the end of the stick for one of these counties.
Down the odds on surely now.
Yeah, I think just look imperious in fairness, and yeah, Down will be the team to beat. But we've said this before in the Tailteann Cup, and not often, that not always does the victor the favourite win. In the ladies senior football championship yesterday, just some results. Galway 420, Tyrone 217 in Tuam. Dublin 213, Donegal 5 points at Parnell Park. Kildare at points, Kerry 119 in Newbridge, and Waterford 114, Cork 115 at Fraher Field. Let's get some colour, because that win for Cork over Donegal was massive. Cork's Ian Maguire reacted to his side 17 points to 113 win, stunning Donegal to make it to the All-Ireland quarterfinals yesterday. He caught up with Jonathan Higgins for Off the Ball afterwards.
Look, it's massive. I suppose coming up here, there was an element, you're going to lose and you're going to be out, 6 day turnaround, but we were coming up here with full ambition to win, and then the benefit obviously is getting to the quarterfinal, but you have that extra week of rest, a couple of knocks, that was a huge battle there, like, so there's going to be sore bodies, but that extra week of rest, you can't put enough value on it. But I suppose ultimately for us, coming up here, getting a win up the north is huge for the group from a psychological point of view, and gives us great confidence in going into Croke Park.
The flight home will be a bit nicer.
Joe, you're laughing there. You're on about if we score a goal. Did we score a goal? If we score a goal, then we do the airplane celebration. But the game was a bit too intense for that. But now we're delighted now. And in fairness to the county board supporting us there, you know, getting that quick journey back, it also helped in the preparation up. You know, if you had a long journey up, obviously it takes its toll. But in fairness, we're all together now, like, and we're all pulling in the right direction.
We're watching the match in Enniskillen here. Armagh 1-5, led 7 points, a 1-point lead for Armagh, who got a goal with the first score of the game, Gareth Murphy. But Lad coming back into it with a 2-pointer there from Sam Mulroy. They're only a point down, Shane.
Park Rattan there in Enniskillen, great venue. Patrick Kavanagh country, stony grey soil around
right
there. The Green Diesel Derby, people have been calling this one.
The Oil Classico, I heard on the football pod today.
Yeah, so look, it's a great venue, and the sun seems to be absolutely beaming in South Monaghan for that one. And I'm expecting a cracking game, and so far so good. Louth and Armagh with very little to separate them. So that's the early game in the round 2A, the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship today. Also yesterday, as I mentioned, my own county Monaghan progressing to round 3 of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship, knocking Roscommon out in the process after that impressive 120 to 14 point victory in Clonus yesterday. Monaghan manager Gabriel Bannigan caught up with Off the Ball's Gaelic Games correspondent Tommy Rooney afterwards.
Yeah, look, we targeted getting off to a better start than we did against Mayo. We were very disappointed with our first half performance against Mayo. I think we definitely brought a lot of the learnings from that game out there today, particularly the way we defended in the second half against the Breeze, because that was the problem in our first half performance against Mayo the last day. We didn't defend well against the Breeze, and Mayo kicked 6 2-pointers in the first half. That gave us a mountain to climb in the second half, which we nearly climbed because of the character that we have in that dressing room and the quality we have in the team. But we were unlucky not to get over the line the last day. So we took that hurt out there today and we targeted a 70 minute performance. I was very happy we got a 70 minute performance. That doesn't mean it was perfect, because we only got 8 scores out of 24 shots in the first half. So we have a lot of learning to take out of today now in terms of improving that area. But our second half performance against the Breeze, the top, was very measured, very controlled, played some excellent football, took the right options, created the opportunities and clipped over some lovely scores. So look, at have to be happy. 9-point win over Roscommon, who are kind of champions and who have been producing excellent performances all year. We've got to take that and move forward. Delighted.
Yeah, and a change in tack from Monaghan manager Gabriel Bannigan yesterday. They won the toss and opted to change things and go with the win for the first half. They've obviously been down by a lot in some games against the likes of Mayo and Derry, but choosing to take that wind and have a bit of a lead at half time, and it paid dividends for them yesterday. So, yeah, nobody will fancy getting Monaghan in the draw, but of course they'll be underdogs no matter who they play potentially next weekend. And that's the way they like it up in Monaghan, John, I have to say. But the other fixtures today then in the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship, round 2A, as we said, Louth and Armagh is ongoing in front of us here. 21 minutes gone, Louth 7 points, Armagh 1-6 now. So a 2-point lead for Armagh in that game. 1 o'clock was the throw-in time. Galway versus Westmeath, that's going to be a cracking game at Pearse Stadium in Salt Hill this afternoon at 2 o'clock. While Tyrone play Mayo at O'Neill's Healy Park in Omagh from 3:30. The winner of those, of course, progressing to the All-Ireland quarter-final, and the loser going into that round 3 draw, which takes place tomorrow morning. The knockout game today is in round 2B. As we said, Tommy Rooney will be there at Kingspan Breffni Park, 2 p.m. throw-in time for Cavan versus Dublin. One of those teams will be knocked out of the championship this afternoon. In the Camogie All-Ireland Senior Championship today at 2 p.m. Waterford take on Galway at Walsh Park, and at 3:30 it's Tipperary against Cork at FBD Semple Stadium. I mentioned some Formula 1 as well. John George Russell well placed to score his first point in 3 races as he goes from pole position for this afternoon's Barcelona Catalunya F1 Grand Prix. The Mercedes driver qualifying ahead of Lewis Hamilton, with championship leader Kimi Antonelli in 3rd, Lando Norris 4th on the grid.
Okay, that's what's happening there. The Knicks have won.
They've done it, John. The New York Knicks have won the NBA championship for the first time in 53 years. They clinched the title with a 94-90 victory against the San Antonio Spurs overnight, which was the 5th game of their best of 7 series. Jalen Brunson scoring 45 points for the Knicks in the process.
1973, the last time. I mean, I was watching because they had that last gasp win there during the week in New York, and you had Larry David there and Spike Lee and John McEnroe was there.
Yeah.
I think Adam Sandler.
Ben Stiller and, yeah.
Jerry Seinfeld, Taylor Swift. If you're an autograph hunter, you would have had fun that night.
Wow. Yeah. Incredible. But New York has taken off. We got a message at WhatsApp into Off the Ball yesterday, and, you know, people saying that the World Cup fever hasn't really hit New York because New York Knicks fever is taking over everything. Like, the city has gone absolutely mental for the New York Knicks, and rightly so. And I can imagine the scenes last night in New York. I'd say there's a bit of cleaning up to do in the city this morning because celebrations no doubt took off.
Yeah, and wildly in some cases.
Yeah.
Zoran Mamdani, the mayor, was at the Brazil Morocco game, as was... I've seen Robbie Keane. Robbie Keane was pictured with David Beckham, I think, out in Los Angeles.
Okay.
For ahead of the USA game.
Galaxy pals.
Yeah, he's definitely out there, Robbie Keane. And Tom Cruise, I think, was pictured at a game as well. So there's going to be a lot more of this. The original Ronaldo was there as well last night in New York.
Does feel like a celeb fest, doesn't it,
bit
so far?
Yeah, yeah. As we kind of... back to the kind of original point I had. Mm. What else we got?
Yeah, mention the darts, because the World Cup of Darts is taking place today. Unfortunately for the Republic of Ireland, the quarterfinals did not go to plan earlier this morning. Scotland beating Ireland 8-5 in that one. It's live in leg 6. England 1, Wales 4. So Wales in the driving seat in that one. The North of Ireland play Latvia from around 2 o'clock or so this afternoon. And then the Netherlands against Germany. That's going to be a cracking one at 2:45 today as well. Some golf. Shane Lowry goes into the final round of the Canadian Open, 4 shots off the lead. The Offaly golfer carding a 3rd round of 67 to move to 9 under par overall and into a tie for 12th place in Toronto. American Jackson Suber, who is chasing a maiden PGA Tour title, holding a 1-shot advantage at the top of the leaderboard on 13 under par. I mentioned quickly some football fixtures as well.
Yes.
Club Orange Women's FAI Cup preliminary round games taking place today. Oriel Park was the start time there at 1 o'clock for Donegal versus CK United at 2 o'clock in the paddocks. It's Ballingarry against Douglas Hall. 2 p.m. in Bishopsgate, Longford Town versus Balergan United. Whitehall Rangers versus Finn Harps at the AUL complex, also at 2. And at 3 o'clock, St Coleman's Park for Cove Ranbers versus St Pat's. Horse racing, the first at Downpatrick, goes off at 10-2 this afternoon. And at 2:07, the first in Cork, John.
Royal Ascot begins on Tuesday. And Armagh only have a point cushion over Louth again. Louth with another point. So Armagh 1-6, Louth 8 points, 24 minutes into this one. And Inishkeen, and looks packed. in the sunshine.
Oh, tickets, like you know the amount of Armagh season ticket holders, and not all of them could clearly get into the game in a Skene this afternoon, so tickets were very much at a premium. And I know Gardaí were during the week encouraging people not to travel to Inniskeen if you didn't have a ticket. It's not a very big village, John, so it wouldn't be capable of holding people just to pub. I spent a bit of time. Kerry fans often make the trip up. Myself and Owen Sheehan had a lovely pint or two before a Kerry Monaghan league match in Inniskeen many years ago in McNeilo's pub. Beside, if it's one of those pubs, you know, the fireplace, the pint of stout sitting beside you.
Is it a village?
It's a small village, yeah. There's not much in it. There's pitch and putt course, there's a church, there's a pub or two. It's very small.
And a shop.
Yeah, lovely little shop. And that's about it. But yeah, it wouldn't be for the faint-hearted. It wouldn't be for too many people to pack the streets off. Let's put it that way. But yeah, lovely little fireside pint, John. Hard to beat.
Well, whether it's an iced latte first thing in the morning or an iced white mocha while soaking in the summer sun, Braeburn Coffee has the perfect iced coffee. Available exclusively at Apple Green. Braeburn Coffee, made for your summer. What's the headline going to be tomorrow? Dubs out.
You know what? I'm tempted to say it, but I do think Cavan, even with the home advantage, will find it tough against the Dubs this afternoon. Look, they took Westmeath all the way to extra time, and I think it'll be a closer game than people possibly realise. I could have egg on my face later on when Dublin win by 10 or 12 points, but I don't think so. I don't think Cavan will lie down, particularly at Breffni Park. Yeah, I think Cork, regardless, is going to be the headline, isn't it, tomorrow morning?
Well, it's funny because there's so much focus on the hurlers and the massive support for the hurlers, and the football sometimes is in the background with Cork, but that's a big win and the quarter final that to look forward to. And John Cleary knows the time of day, so
yeah,
well done to the Rebels and anybody who made the trip up to Donegal. You've deserved your celebrations.
No doubt. It's a long way up.
Shane Hannon, thank you so much for the news round here on Off the Ball Sunday News Talk.
Off the Ball Daily.